This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
All right, Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. You can see the action behind me, getting ready for Week 7 to open up in Cleveland. Michael Lombardi hanging out in Jersey. So aside from the number, which is all the way down to 40 on the total, one with Cleveland laying it, we'll put that aside for a second because I said there were three other things I really wanted to get to with you today. Ben Simmons, we touched on it a little bit. I mentioned the Miami Heat, your Heat, and now Deshaun Watson. So this Stephen Ross wants Deshaun Watson. Let's start with the Miami perspective and then we can talk, but he needs to be moved before this trade deadline. Can you correct me if I'm wrong? Because then he wouldn't be able to move until next March.
Well, I think this trade deadline gives at least it would give the Houston Texans the idea of what trade compensation you're getting back. So let's build it backwards. So if they trade him to Miami, and he's allowed to play, him going to Miami, even though he wouldn't know the offense and hasn't had any reps, he would make Miami a better team. Would they have the, you know, what pick would they have? What would they do? I mean, that pick's going to Philly anyway. So they're not getting that pick back. So when you trade him in the summer, you're basically trading blindly. You're trading on futures because you don't know what that pick's going to be. If you wait to the end of the year, you know, I'm getting the 18th pick. I'm getting the 27th pick. I'm getting, you know, you can put the numbers down and know what's exactly calculate what you're getting. So, but towards the deadline, I think you have a better sense. I think the one thing we can say with a degree of certainty, let's call it 90% certainty, that the Texans want to trade Deshaun. I think the Texans have had enough of this. They're moving on. They're going to rebuild their whole franchise. I mean, they're dumping Whitney Mercilles. They just got rid of Andre Roberts. They signed him as a punt returner. He's really a good punt returner. They just let him go. You know, and he went out to the Chargers, which will help the Chargers special teams tremendously. You know, it's one of those unsung signings that nobody pays attention to that can shift the game. And it looks like the Texans are just going to try to rebuild this thing from ground zero. Is it Davis Mills? I don't know. But I do think they've moved on from Deshaun. It's enough is enough. And there's no repairing this relationship. They've made no attempt to repair it, and they're not going to. Now, where does that lead us to? Well, we know Stephen Ross said this summer when he opened up their training facility, which he just built, he said, I expect to win a Super Bowl soon. I mean, the man's in his 80s. Soon's a key word when you're in your 80s. And so yeah. I get the sense that, you know, he's going to want to do that. And they've been all in on Deshaun. Now, Deshaun has the one caveat that he controls this. He has the right of, he can veto a trade. He can't make the trade, but he could say, I'm not going there. Now, the way they've handled this is basically, hey, Deshaun, you want to veto trades? No problem. You keep sitting down. You just keep sitting. You want to play football, you'll acquiesce. They do have a little bit more rights to this, but I do think Miami's in play. You know, and then the rumor that trailed on is, would Washington take on Tua? I guess the fundamental question you must ask yourself, does Houston want Tua? Would you put Tua in the package when you get to get Watson back? Now, I can only say this. I don't know for certainty where Nick Cesario was, the general manager of the Texans, but New England wasn't in love with Tua. Right? So organizationally, does that mean Nick was? I don't know that. He might have been in love and nobody else in the organization felt that way. So I don't know if they have that love affair for him. But, you know, the question you have to ask if you're taking on Tua, do you think he can be a top 15 quarterback? I say no. From what I've seen, I don't think he is. And if you take him, you're married to the contract, and are you still going to go get a quarterback even though you have him?
This is not, is this
a lot to unpack there? I know
that's okay. I want to ask you again. This is not about 21. This is about 22 when it comes to Watson performing. So, right? I mean, there's no reasonable expectation for a one-win Miami team to think we're going to get through all the red tape and he's going to come and save the season this year. This is buying for the future.
No doubt. It's buying for the future. And I don't know if he's going to. If Miami, I think Miami has to, if they're in this, engaged in these conversations, they're basically saying to themselves, we know Tua, and let's be conservative, we know Tua is not a top 15 quarterback. We know that. Let's list all the quarterbacks in the league, and if Tua played his best, where would he rank? He's certainly not in the top five. He's certainly not in the top 10. Could he be 15 to 11? Maybe. I don't think so, but you might make that argument. But the one thing we do know is Deshaun's in the top five. So for us to get a top five quarterback, which with the one we have will never be one, we might have to make this trade.
So, and it's fascinating, as it's really letting you know what Miami thinks of Tua. As I started the show talking about that, where all of a sudden this Deshaun Watson thing. Now, the Texans are trying to get other teams involved, obviously, to start driving that price up. Are other teams, from what you're hearing, interested in Watson outside of Ross in Miami?
Well, I mean, you got to believe that Denver's interested. I mean, because Denver's watching their season. If you are the Denver Broncos and, you know, you've traded for Bridgewater, you know Drew Locke's not very good, right? And if you're George Payton, the general manager of the Broncos, this is your chance. This is your chance. You know, because here's the reality, and this is a conversation Wolf and I had yesterday. You know, when Ron went to Green Bay, he did one thing. He made a trade for Brett Favre. He traded a first-round pick for a second-round pick. He loved Brett Favre. He was with the Jets at the time. The Jets took Browning Nagel ahead of Brett Favre. Okay? Dick Steinberger loved Browning Nagel. Ron was there. He didn't argue. He just, okay, fine, you guys want to do it. But when he got the Green Bay job, the first move he made, because of his relationship with Ken Harrock, who was a former general manager, was the general manager at the Falcons. They were both together at the Raiders. And because Glanville wanted nothing to do with Favre, they traded him and he got a one. And so that was what Wolf did. That was the first. And then every other move he made was the easier to deal with because he had a top five player. And this is the same thing. I mean, if you believe you're going to get a top five player, so does that mean Carolina should be back in it? Maybe. We know Carolina's been interested. They've been skirting around the issue. Will they be back in? Does he want to play in Carolina? You know, Miami doesn't have that one. They gave that to Philly.
And part of this, a team like Denver, they're also waiting around for that Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes to begin. So you kind of, it's trying to balance whether or not to go all in on Deshaun, where there's a lot, obviously. But if
you take the bird in the hand, though, I mean, if you're Denver and I can go get Deshaun, I'm going to go get, because I don't know what's going to happen with Rodgers. Like, he might say, I love Green Bay. You know, I mean, we'll do the discount double check up here forever, you know. Like, I don't know how to handicap that one. My instincts tell me there's been so much made in the media about that relationship in Green Bay that none of it, you know, he's never playing again. And he came back and he's playing well. And he looks like he's having a good time.
And arguably landing a top five quarterback, top six, top seven quarterback into Deshaun Watson if you do procure his services. And right now you're getting them, you're buying them cheap. Because you're holding the Texans over a barrel, but you're also playing a game that's dangerous as far as will he be available even next year.
I mean, look at this way: Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance. Okay, would you trade Deshaun for Trevor Lawrence? I probably wouldn't trade Trevor Lawrence for Deshaun. I probably wouldn't. Would I trade Zach Wilson for Deshaun? Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
From what I've seen so far out of Zach Wilson, I would. Would I trade Trey Lance for Deshaun? Absolutely, 1,000%.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't mean that any disrespect to Trey Lance, but I would. I mean, Trey Lance is going to have to become the Josh Allen of that draft. He's going to have to improve his accuracy, improve his changes, velocity. He's going to have to learn how to play quarterback, learn how to throw the ball, you know, learn how to pass the ball, not just throw the ball. And those things are going to take some time.
Oh, I forgot. We haven't talked since Monday night. I want to ask you a couple questions about that game. But before we do, your best guess right now, as we sit here on the 21st of October, right before Halloween and the trade deadline's coming up, you think Deshaun Watson's going to be a Dolphin?
I can't say that for sure. I think there'll be more than one team in it. Now, again, you know, we don't know about the civil suits and how people are going to proceed. I do think that Houston will move them. But I think Houston will only move them, much like the 76ers, if they get the right price. I don't think it's going to be a discount double-check deal.
Well, you know Casario. Is he the type of guy that is
He'll wait it. He's, you know, look what he's doing with his team this year. I mean, look what he's doing with his team this year. He just cut Marcellus. Even they're cleaning it out. I mean, they're tanking without really announcing to the world they're tanking.
And also,
I mean,
something,
they really are.
You said something about him.
What are we in weeks? We're week seven, right?
Yeah,
where's Dominic? Where's Dominic when I need him? He could help me out with the week I'm in. Look, I mean, he's in week seven of the season. You know, he knows his team's not very good. And, you know, he's kind of, and he's, we have how many people still in Survivor? I mean, I don't know, Mike Palm would probably know better, but usually by week seven, somebody's taken a huge hit. But because this year has so many bad teams in it, you know, you could decide between Houston, whoever Houston's playing, whoever the Lions are playing, you know, whoever's Jacksonville's playing. There's so many Survivor picks more than ever before. We don't have Amal this week. He decided to take a vacation. I don't know why, but he did. So we don't know what his – I would suspect his Survivor picks would either be Tampa Bay or the Rams if you haven't used them against the Lions. I mean, but it's going to come down to those teams, right?
Something you said about Casario stands out to me. You said it months ago. You said when you walk into his office, he's got the market on. He's a finance guy. Leads me to believe he knows what the game is right now as far as selling low on Watson, and he's not going to get caught up in that.
He doesn't have to. He's got support of the owner.
Mm-hmm. And then you got an owner in Ross who is, as you mentioned, when you're in your 80s, now is important. So we continue here.
It's a big word. Now
is the operative word. Absolutely. Lombardi Line here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. More on Thursday night next.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, you can take a look at the betting splits for Thursday Night Football with Denver and Cleveland. Check them out, VSiN.com. Latest betting splits on every game. Find out which games are seeing the most tickets written, odds, data, analysis for every game. It's just an invaluable tool. It really is. VSiN.com for more information about those betting splits. We got you back here. Are you seeing mostly ones now? I'm seeing a couple of books just went back up to 1.5. When I sat down, it was mostly ones. This morning, Cleveland was laying 2. So obviously Denver money right now, Michael.
Yeah. I mean, look, it seems like it's all 79% of the money's coming in on Denver. You know, and I think the injury has created the narrative that the Browns have no chance. And so, you know, Denver, which hasn't played well in 3 weeks, lose, you know, they open up 3-0. They lose 3 in a row, haven't played well at all, and, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, to me, I think this is a toss-up. I think you got 2 backup quarterbacks. I mean, you could talk about Teddy Bridgewater's ATS and all that. He's a backup quarterback. He's a bottom 20 quarterback. So is Case Keenum. You know, and both these defenses have not played well at all. I mean, the Ravens, they couldn't stop the Ravens. I know it's Lamar, but Denver has not played as well defensively. I don't know what their, you know, I don't know what their DVOA says and all that crap. But when I watch the tape, they can't get stops when they need to get stops. You know, and so, you know, like when you go through it all and everybody, oh, well, you know, they got great DVOA. Well, I mean, if their DVOA is so good, how come they're not stopping somebody? You know, I think that's a big issue.
I agree. Low total, 40.5.
I think these defenses haven't played well enough to justify that low total.
Right.
I think, you know, bad defenses, I know the win's going to be a little bit of a factor, but bad defenses are not exactly, you know, that's a good, that they help bad offenses. So Denver's 22 overall in DVOA, right? Their defense is 24th in DVOA.
That's not good enough.
Pretty much. I mean, their offense is actually better in DVOA than they are. You know, now the contest just came out. The contest numbers just came out for Circa. So, you know, we'll see where they are with the numbers. But I haven't seen the numbers yet for them. But I'm sure it'll be up on Twitter here soon. But once they come out, I think I'll get them right now for you, Patrick.
A note for that total, just for the better, if you're just joining us here on the Lombardi Line, it's going to be windy, upwards of 20 miles an hour. Could see some showers during the game, so that's playing into it.
Here they
are. Go ahead.
The circa numbers came in at 1.5. Broncos getting 1.5. Browns laying 1.5.
Wow. Okay.
You know, the Chiefs-Titans number, shockingly here, on the contest is 4.5. And I think it's all fives now. It's all fives now.
4.5, 5, yeah.
Raiders are 3 over the Eagles.
Yeah, but it's 3 right now.
And that was 3.5. That they didn't give you the hook there.
Philly.
Seattle's getting 5 at home. When's the last time Seattle's gotten 5 points at home, Patrick?
New Orleans is laying 5 at Geno in Seattle. That is on, what, Monday night?
Yeah. So we're talking survivor last. You got the Texans against the Cardinals. That's 18.5. You got the Bucks versus the Bears. That's 12.5. And you've got the Lions at the Rams. That's 15. So if you use the Amal theory of take home teams, you've got 3 viable home teams you could easily play. Now the Cardinals, I think they play on Christmas Day. So, you know, you might want to save them for that day if you think they can win. Or you want to save the Bucks if you haven't used the Rams. But, you know, and then you've got the Patriots versus the Jets at 7. You've got the Packers against Washington. That's an 8-point line in the contest. So the only reason I bring this up is because, you know, when you're looking to build, when you're looking to pick survivor, you want to try to get at least a touchdown, a team that you feel like is a touchdown favorite to give you some sense of comfort that they're going to win the game. They don't have to cover. They just got to win.
Speaking of which, we haven't talked since Monday. And that day, I actually brought it up to 7, a couple of books closed 7, huge home dogs for the Titans, and they pick up a huge win over the Bills. Yeah. What were your thoughts coming
everything,
out of that game?
I said it on Monday. Everything on paper says take the Bills. But we also said this on Monday. Monday night's a strange night. And you can't handicap the home crowd. You can't handicap the importance with baked into something. And I thought taking the Titans was the right play. I thought it was the perfect right play. You're against the public. 80% of the public was on you. Remember, we said this too during the day. We said, hey, look, if it goes the way the weekend went, the public's going to win this one. But we typically know they don't have those chandeliers in Vinny's studio and in his book because everything goes with the public. So eventually it was going to turn. That's why I thought it was a good play. This number, the Chiefs-Titans game, at 5, I think you're going to see a lot of Chiefs money if it's under, but I think that's a little too rich. My power ranking number for this, it should be the Chiefs should be favored by about 3. And you get a home team with 4.5, that could be pretty tempting for you, or 5, depending on where the number goes. The thing I do think this, I think the line movement, and I've been saying this all year, and all due respect to Josh who follows it in college, I think it's been absolutely meaningless. I think in pro it's meaningless. I think flipping to this, you know, I think it's all meaningless. I think it's noise because I think it's too hard to figure out really where is the line movement coming from. Is it injury related? Is it sharp bet related? Is it somebody with algorithm related? You just really don't know. Your best thing is to just analyze the number you have and break it down based on your power rankings. And don't worry about following the money because if you did, I mean, you know, the other day we were talking about Jacksonville. You know, we were doing that game in London, you know, and the money was following Miami in that game.
And to Michael's point about Monday night, if that confused some of you, you can go to VSiN.com and get the splits. Remember, that was like 80% of the money and 80% of the tickets all over Buffalo. Yeah. Outright winner for the Titans. So that's what he was referring to when everybody
yeah, I, and
was
you know me,
Buffalo.
And you know me, Patrick, I love a low ticket count, high number. Mm-hmm. That tells me there's people with, that doesn't tell me it's sharp money because I am telling you, I am not an expert on sharp money. I don't know who a sharp is. I don't. I don't walk by the street and say, hey, he's a sharp. I don't know. But I do know when there's a small amount of tickets and there's a high level of money involved, that means significant cash is coming in. Could that be sharp money? It might be. But it could be somebody who's really wealthy and doesn't know what he's doing. You know, I mean, that could be too, right? I mean,
it could be Floyd. It could be Floyd Mayweather over here dropping millions.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like Mush from the Bronx Tale. I mean, maybe Mush got rich and he invented something and he became a billionaire. And now Mush is moving the number around. You know, it also could be, you know, the book, the somebody doesn't like the number and wants to push the number to a certain point to get it back on the other end.
Can I ask you?
Don't ever think that's not the case here.
Right.
If you can manipulate the stock market, which it happens, you can manipulate the betting market. I'm going to bet 250 on the Broncos and move that number so I can come back and bet the Browns at a better number.
I ask you this a few times a year. I'm just going to ask you one more time. I just want one of your Bitcoins, okay? Because I know you got like 10. Just give me one. Let me hold on to one of those Bitcoins,
bro. I don't
even
know what Bitcoin is. I have no idea what
it is. It's making people millionaires, so it's driving me crazy. I'm not as involved as I should be. Can I ask you tonight, can you take a look at your number and tell me where you are? It's such a confusing number to – it's such a – as far as power rating this game.
So, you know, here's the problem with my number. My number, I had this – really, as I had this as a 2.42 game with the Browns, should be a 2.42 favorite, right? Now, that those numbers are big because of Baker Mayfield, because of Hunt, because of Chubb.
Right.
You take those guys out, right? You take Chubb out. You know, we talked about last week with Arizona. I did a poor job of handicapping the Arizona game because I should have known the two tackles were out, which was going to influence Chubb. And then it put Hunt in a position to carry the ball way too much. And it put too much pressure on Baker.
All right. Well, your number's sitting pretty much where the numbers sit in the market here. One and a half. Michael's number sitting right around two. So we shall see. Okay. Before we bring Josh in, I don't know if I have enough time to do it right now, but I did want to ask you in a serious vein, how do you think this will play out with Ben Simmons? Do you think he ends up getting moved, and do you have an idea as to where?
I mean, he has to get moved, and I would trade him to the team. Look, I think at this point he's addition by subtraction. You get rid of him, and you get two really good players who fit this team. You're better off than you are. The idea that you're going to get star power back for him is ridiculous. He's not going to be a star. I mean, he's already showed you who he is. I wrote about this in the Daily Coach the other day. Once players show you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
He's not a competitor. He has no competitive vibe at all in him. You know, I got a text from a guy who was worked with in the NBA for years. And when Kobe asked to get traded, Kobe made a point to tell them, I will play the best I can because I play for myself, not for you.
And at the time, Kobe was rumored to go to the Pistons. And as you can imagine, we were very excited to potentially land Kobe. Don't compare Kobe Bryant to Ben Simmons ever life. I mean, no, can do.
Where's John Hoates' pitcher? Please, where is that?
We'll get it by next season. We come back with Josh next here on the Lombardi Line.
To the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's the Hoops Guide right now. NBA betting guide, VSiN. It's incredible, and it's just $9.99. It really is one of those guides to kind of keep you warm throughout the winter because there's so many nuggets. I was looking at it last night. JBT and the crew did a great job. Daily betting tips as well. Just $9.99. VSiN.com/subscribe. As we get you back here on the Lombardi Line, we kick off week 7. Speaking of kicking off, so we say hi to Michael and Josh Applebaum. Market Insights is the pod. VSiN.com/podcast, also betting across America. We're kicking off back to Houston as the Astros take a 3-2 series lead back to Houston, Mr. Baseball's Astros. But I will say this, Josh. You and your little dirty water friends were getting very cocky when you went to that game with Elise and were posting videos popping champagne. They haven't scored a run since then. What the hell's going on with your Red Sox?
Oh, Patrick, Michael, great to be with you. I don't know. I might have jinxed them here, Patrick. Yeah, I had an opportunity here out there with my buddy who has the tickets. He was like, which game do you want to go to? There, you know, an option of three. I said, give me the first one. Thank God. Imagine, Patrick, if I was at the last two. But yeah, this series has really turned here, guys. Really, Alex Cora making some questionable moves. You burn Nathan Eovaldi. And really, it's the Red Sox bats going quiet. They lose again last night. Was surprising to me is both dogs, especially that Atlanta big plus money dog coming through. We've seen chalk favorites do very well. But now the series is going back here, Patrick, for tomorrow. Looks like some of these numbers we're waiting on both starting pitchers, but Houston around a minus 115 favorite. Big one tonight, obviously, is the Dodgers. Dodgers backs up against the wall. Interesting bet split here with the Dodgers, Patrick. Only 29% of bets, but 43% of money tonight. I think public's kind of saying, I love the Dodgers, but you look like a dead team, and Atlanta, you keep giving me plus money. A lot of Atlanta money here, yet Dodgers are kind of staying minus 140. So waiting for that pitcher as well. But I'd be looking at the Dodgers tonight, guys. To me, it's a buy low spot. You know, Turner got hurt. He's been hurt for a while here. But really, even though you're getting majority bets on the Braves, the line hasn't moved off of 140. So I'm still leaning Dodgers here tonight.
All right, Josh. The game tonight, this is fascinating. Michael's number is a little north of 2 with Cleveland. We're seeing ones. I'm seeing a couple 1.5. So I woke up, it was 2 this morning, right on Michael's number. But of course, injuries all over the place for both the Broncos and the Browns in a super low total of 40.5, Josh.
Yeah, massive movement on this game. And Michael, I think you're spot on because pretty much your number is where we're at right now. But again, remember, this line look at was Cleveland actually -6 at a lot of shops. -6, -5 was a much higher number. Both these teams 3-3 straight up and ATS, very even. Both teams struggling. Both need a win. Denver's lost 3 straight. Cleveland has lost 2 straight. But guys, what I like is when you have a flood of money where there's zero buyback. And really, that's what we're seeing with the Denver Broncos. Immediately when that early number drops 6, 5, even, you know, a 4, shoots down to 3.5. So immediate movement right off the get-go with Denver. And then all these injuries take place. And then you get Case Keenum starting for Baker Mayfield. And this thing drops all the way to, you know, 1.5, 1. So at this point, you know, I jumped on the +3.5 earlier in the week. I think that was the play getting the hook before you saw this avalanche of money continue to drop this number. I think if you like Denver, and really there's been no buyback on obviously Cleveland here at home, maybe you get a money line play. Maybe the 1.5 you tease up to +7.5 here, Patrick. You could go through a couple key numbers there. But just, you know, with system matching with Denver, guys, a lot of good systems here on them tonight. Road dogs off a loss, 18-11 against the spread, 62% this year. Primetime dogs, 12-6 ATS, 67%. Short road dogs, +3 or less, 12-4 ATS, 75%. And we all know our buddy Teddy Two Gloves, one of the best quarterbacks here when he's getting points in general. As a dog, 24-7 against the spread, 77%. And as a road dog, this one's crazy, 19-2 ATS, 91%. So I think you wanted to obviously jump on Denver earlier in the week, but this thing continues to move. I don't see any buyback here, guys. Keep an eye on the under. You might have lost the good number here. It's 44 down to 41, but you do have a lot of wind here at the dog pound, around 20 miles an hour of wind.
You know, I don't understand the under going down so low. The Browns defensively have given up 47 and 37 points the last two games. You know, I mean, like, and Arizona, I know, is a good offense, and I know the Chargers are really good offense, but, you know, that's a lot of points. Say they give up 27. Say you lower it, you know, say you lower it by 17 points, you give up, you know, 20, you know, give up 30 and 20. That's 50. I mean, why can't the Broncos get into the 20s? And then I think the Browns can move the ball on Denver, which hasn't been exactly great defensively in the last three games. You know, Denver's last three games have given up 23, 27, and 34. You know, they start with the, you know, the Sinatra Open, they give up 13-0. I mean, so I think both defenses are not very good, and I think that leads to making the offenses look better the way they've played the last couple weeks, particularly, you know, if they can protect Garrett from ruining the game.
I'm perversely excited for this game, Michael. It's going to be weird.
It's great. It'll be a great game. I mean, if you can get through some of the dramatics of it, but I mean, it'll be a great game. I mean, you know, we'll see the teams. You're going to have to play backups. Here's what I think we have to understand as fans and bettors. When we go to 18 games, we're going to have games where there's going to have to be a lot of players. See, if I was in the Players Association, if I was DeMar Smith, I would tell the National Football League, you can have your 18 games. But whatever we play on 16 games, the amount of plays players play at 16 games, say they play 1,000 plays, okay? Say they play 1,000 plays. You know, Myles Garrett played 1,000 plays of defense on 16 games. That's the most he can play for 18 games. Now, it's the coaching job to figure out how you're going to replace those other two games. 5 less plays a game here, maybe 10 less plays a game here, you know, and when the fourth quarter, when the game's out, you know, I think this is what we're going to see more and more, these type of games where injured guys are out. We're going to see that when we get to 18 games.
Fair enough. Josh, got 3 games, always a light slate. Of course, Thursday night in the association. Mike, and please address them as Michael Lombardi's Miami Heat when you do discuss them. But the Bucks, you're welcome. The champs are in town. Remember, the champs swept Miami last year in the postseason 4-0. But I guess the movement here, and you can talk about it, it's got to do with Jrue Holiday probably not playing. He got banged up in the second half of the opener.
You're totally right, Patrick. And again, this is the NBA. We got to get back to, you know, scouring Twitter and being online all the time, getting these injury updates. Because, for example, today we find out Drew Holiday is out. This line actually opened. A lot of books were, you know, Bucks -2.5, -1.5. They were a short favorite to start. And then we find out that Drew Holiday is out. Remember, DiVincenzo's out. Portis is out. You have a lot of injuries here for the Bucks. But there was a window of about 5 to 10 minutes where the Heat were still, you know, +1.5. And then we saw a ton of money with this injury to Holiday flip this line now all the way to Heat -1.5, -2. So it's come, you know, dog to favorite here in favor of the Heat. To me, guys, anytime I see this line movement, we talk about in the NFL, like the Vikings last week, dog to fave, or Atlanta this week, I like to go money line if you missed the number. So if you jumped on again, you know, scouring Twitter, seeing this injury and still seeing a low hanging book or a slow moving book still hanging some points with the Heat, that was your ultimate play. But now on our board, even though it shows Bucks -1, it's pretty much -2 Heat at this point. So a lot of injuries. To me, it's Heat on the money line tonight. And Michael, your Heat, they're only getting about a third of bets here. Everyone's still riding with the Bucks. So to me, it looks like the Heat are taking in some respected money here.
Well, I mean, the Heat looked good in the preseason. They won 5 of the 6 games, you know, and they're rested. Milwaukee's took a flight down there. It's early in the season. I don't expect Milwaukee to be at top of their game. I do expect the Heat to be at top of their game. You know, they are usually 1-4 in their last 5 games against the spread in this situation. So as we enter into a new season, those numbers could be irrelevant, but I do like the Heat tonight.
I faded the Bucks in the opener at home against the Nets. And the Nets were just disgusting in that minute. That was not good. Late night, good game. The Clippers open up their season. Remember, the Warriors went down to L.A. and beat the Lakers, beat them up good. What do you got on that game?
Yeah, I'd be looking at grabbing some points here with the Clippers, guys. I think we're kind of really underselling the Clippers. There's no Kawhi, and obviously, you know, the Warriors look great there, winning outright against the Lakers in the opener. But really what we're seeing is everyone's loading up on Steph Curry here at home. A lot of these books open, you know, -4, -3.5 with the Warriors. And even though they're getting 3 out of 4 bets, guys, we're showing 4 on our screen, but this line is actually down to 3 at this point. So a lot of money is coming in on the Clippers. And this was pretty much +3.5 all morning. And you saw about, 45 minutes ago, a lot of +3.5 with the hook hit the Clippers there and move that number in their favor. And one thing I look at, especially early in the season, road dogs, short road dogs around 5 or less with at least a half point of line movement in their favor. That can be a buy low opportunity spot. It's around 56% ATS the last decade. So I'll be looking at grabbing the points here with the Clippers. And then also, guys, if you're looking to sweat an under here in college football, one that reminded me a lot of that inflated under last night with App State. If you look at Charlotte and Florida Atlantic, guys, that total opened 54. It's now up to 57. I kind of like buying low on that under 57. You have a very slow-paced team with Charlotte. They're 128th in the country in seconds per play. You also have FAU with one of the best pass defenses in the nation. So you're going to get run the ball quite a bit. Inflated number. I'd be looking at under 57 in that FAU-Charlotte matchup.
Charlotte. Are they the 49ers, Michael?
Yeah, they are.
Why are they the 49ers? I mean, I understand why San Francisco's the 49ers.
You know, Patrick, that's going to have to be a research project. We'll have to dig into that. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
Good thing Google or DuckDuckGo is available because I can look it up as opposed to just asking you. Josh, great job. Thank you very much. Good luck tonight. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it. By the way, Michael, your Blackhawks, just keep an eye out. No Quinn Hughes. Home favorites are about 67% to start. Your Blackhawks going to get their first win of the year. I'm on them tonight, Michael.
I hope so. We need it. A lot of heat on us.
Right, that's one of the great sweaters in the history of the sport. And Michael, of course, is friends with the head coach there. When we come back, the Bears, Bucks. I got an injury update on an important player for the Bears. We'll get to that and also get Michael's official play. It may not be official, but I need a lean tonight in that Thursday night matchup. We continue.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
BetMGM, sign up today. Enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. $10 to win $200. Denver or Cleveland scores a touchdown. $200 paid for in free bets when you bet $10. You got to use the bonus code VSIN200. VSIN200. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions, or simply download the BetMGM app. You got a gambling problem? Please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay. Now.
Yes, sir.
This just came across, and it probably popped up on your system as well. Allen Robinson's questionable now for Sunday. Remember, the Bears travel to the Bucks. That would be a big loss, although they are a little adverse to throw the football these days, Chicago Bears.
This is a real problem game for when you break this game down. I mean, is how do the Bears move the ball, right? You know, we know that the Bucks are really a dominant game team against the run. I mean, we know the Bucks are a sensational run defense. I mean, their liability is in the secondary. And, you know, when you look at this, you know, the Bears over the last two games have run the ball effectively. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't beat the Packers. They lost by 10, but they've been able to run the ball. They've been able to convert in those areas, but they haven't been able to throw it as effectively as they need. This game going against the Bucks, like, I don't know how they throw the ball against the Bucks. The Bucks the last 3 weeks against New England, against Miami, and against the Eagles have given up basically, let's call it 25% conversion on third down. They don't let you run the ball on them very much. They've given up 17 to New England, 17 to Miami, and 22 to Philly. How do the Bears score points in this game? Now, my numbers say take Bears. But one thing I've said, my numbers the last week were 9-4. The week before, we were 12-4. The numbers are wrong on these big spreads, because I don't think I can handicap really the from really bad to good. And I think this is the perfect case of it. Would I want to lay the 12.5? I think it's hard. But how do the Bears score 17 points? And conversely, how do the Bucks not score 28-30? Especially considering that Robert Quinn is on COVID. He may not be rushing. Yeah, Hicks is good, but Philly's front was really good. And Philly's front never got near Brady. And that was on the road.
I think you nailed it. It's just such an awkward matchup offensively for the Bears, because the Bucks will just take away. They're just going to dare them to beat you through the air. And with Allen Robinson potentially being out and Fields just not quite comfortable yet, 12.5 is the number, open 13. A couple books got bet down to 12, went back up to 12.5 with the Bears at the Bucks. Allen Robinson just popped up, questionable for that matchup. That's a really weird matchup for that team.
I mean, look, the Bears have played great defense now. Let's not underestimate what they've done since the Cincy game, right? You know, I mean, they give up 26 against Cleveland, since the Cleveland game. But Detroit, they held them to 14. They held Las Vegas to 9. Green Bay scored 24. The most points they allowed all season was the 34 in the opener. And that game really wasn't – that game was kind of a weird game. They gave up 30, but a lot of those were big plays, the big plays they gave up on those. And the last 3 weeks, they've been really good on third down defense. So, you know, the Bucs will have to work to score their points. They'll have to work to get their offense generated. They'll have to protect Brady. It's not going to be easy sledding by no means.
All right, I got a quote for you that I want you to take a listen to. Tell me what you think of this. This is off an ugly 38-11 loss by the Giants. Joe Judge says, "We're going to right this ship." Quote, "I'm the head coach. It's my responsibility. Point blank, every player on this field, every position group, the execution, it all comes down to me. The fish stinks from the head down. I've been taught that by great guys I've worked and played for. There are no excuses." That fish stinks there in Jersey with the Giants from the head down, and Judge is taking some responsibilities here.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could take it, but how do you fix it, right? You know, when you look at his injury list this week, they're talking about trading Jabril Peppers, which is no big deal. You know, when they took him in the Beckham deal, I was like, what's the big deal about this? It's like, you know, Patrick, we haven't talked about this, but to me, the most overrated player in the National Football League is Jamal Adams. The most overrated player by far. It's not even close. I mean, we start every broadcast talking about how great he is, and then he has no impact on the game at all. You know, no impact. You know, yeah, does he make tackles when he's not blocked? Can he rush the passer? Yeah, when a running back's trying to block him. But when he's going against the big tackle, it's over. I mean, it's the $17 million down the drain, you know. And so Jabril Peppers is similar to Adams, is they have to play in the box. Can't play in space. Can't play cover two. You know, why do you think Greg Williams used to have him like 30 yards down the field? Because he knew he couldn't make a play in the middle of the field. He wasn't a level three player. Same thing with Adams. Same thing with Peppers. I mean, the Giants, they gave up 30 in Washington. Atlanta, which is offense, is one of the worst in the league. Really gotten better since they started running Patterson more. They gave up 17. The Saints, you know, put 21 on them. And the Saints controlled the ball the whole game. They got four. And then the last 2 weeks, giving up 44 and 38 to two really good quarterbacks. You know, to me, I mean, he might right the ship, but it's going to be really hard for him to do that. The way Daniel Jones played, the way his offensive line's playing, the way Carolina can play defense, you got to think Carolina's going to put pressure on Daniel Jones. You think he's going to put pressure on them? I mean, this is a team, look, they've won 18 games, the Giants, in the last 5 years. And if you go back to the 70s, this is more like Giant football than ever. Like when they were in the 70s, until they finally hired George Young and they finally hired Bill Parcells, or Ray Perkins and then Bill Parcells. It's going to be a challenge for them. You know, they just don't have any playmakers. And if Tony's not on the field, they really don't have any playmakers.
Perkins was what, at Alabama? And then they got him?
Mm-hmm.
Perkins?
Yeah, Perkins was, he was an assistant. I don't think he wasn't a head coach at Alabama. He might have been a head coach at Alabama. Yeah,
I think he was.
There to come. Yeah, he was, yeah. And, you know, he'd always been an NFL assistant, and he'd been there, and George knew him, I think, from his days at Baltimore. And so they hired him, and then he left, and then that's when Parcells came in. But they finally changed the organization. When George Young came in, he brought with him through Tom Boyster. Actually, Wolf and I were talking about this yesterday. He brought with him the grading system that was developed by Bucko Kilroy back at the Patriots in the day. Bucko's a guy who probably should be in the Hall of Fame for his contributions to the game. And that changed the course of the Giants. They became a size speed team. They became a team that was built from the inside out, and they changed how they their dynamics, and they started to draft better. They started to procure talent much better.
By the way, that number in Jersey, Carolina in town, it's up to 3.
Yeah.
So we've got a 2.5. Everybody's at 3.
It went up to 3. It went up to 3 because today on Twitter, and again, I think this is what we have to do as a betting network, is try to tie some of the news, the reaction to the news, to why the line's movement. It's mm-hmm. not money moving the line. It is the information moving the line,
yep.
Right, perception. And so really, especially on a Thursday afternoon, that Giant report came out and Tony didn't practice. And, you know, there's so many guys hurt from the Giants that it's really going to be a problem for them.
Are you, by the way, do you feel like me? Did we just watch the Bucks win a championship? Does it feel like the NBA is just on top of us very soon?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and it's like, I think it's probably, you know, we talked about it during last year. It's, you know, the NBA regular season is kind of, you've got to play the emotions of it. Is Milwaukee going to be really interested in playing hard and digging deep into their psyche to beat the Heat, knowing their best players playing back to back? You know, I mean, those are the kind of things you got to play the psyche more than just the number.
I thought, we don't have the picture, but I thought about you yesterday because after LaMelo Ball and the Hornets won their opener, he was dressed up like you generally do. Did you see what he was wearing? He was wearing an all lemon drop yellow outfit, and he took an Instagram picture next to his yellow Lamborghini. So he's now matching his fit.
That makes sense.
With the Lambo. Makes sense. Now, sure. It's 82 games. Will he have 82 Lambos to match the fit? I don't know, but we shall see. Stand by, Michael.
We shall see. Well, I will. Here's the injury report. Giants, Golladay didn't practice today. Barkley didn't practice today. John Ross, who's out with a hamstring injury, he didn't practice today. And Tony remains sideline. So that's why we're seeing the line move, because the receiving core is going to be depleted, you know, and Shepard, who's been the team target every game, you know, he's the only one that really you could trust to be on the field.
Yep. Key number 3. That's where we're at right now with Carolina at the Giants. Okay. Less than a minute. You got a lean here? I got Cleveland laying 1.5 and a total of 40 and a half.
You know, I'm going to lean towards the over here a little bit. I would lean Cleveland and the over. I think those are the two things. I have not been impressed with Denver at all, and I'm a Denver fan. I think the injuries have really affected Denver, and their offensive line has not protected very well, and I think that's an advantage for Cleveland.
Yeah, so despite the weather, I think that's, you're saying that's just dipped down. It's open 44. It's down to 40 at many books.
I think it's too much value to go with the over. I think it's ridiculous.
Well, I know you'll be into Thursday Night Football, but get a second screen because your Heat debut tonight. So good luck there.
I will be flipping, Patrick.
Oh,
I
know.
Be flipping. Don't worry.
You will. I know you will be. You left Berman on an island. Michael, have a great Thursday.
Thank you, Patrick.
Okay, M. Lombardi, NFL. VSiN Live on Twitter. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line. Odds On coming up next.